This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me again this Tuesday for another 60 minutes of old-time radio, beginning with Inner Sanctum. We'll hear an episode titled Death Across the Board from June 5th, 1945. Then it's a quick Believe It or Not with Strange Omen. We'll finish off with the Seal Test Variety Theater, an episode titled Sleight of Hand from November 4th, 1948.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present Inner Sanctum Mysteries, starring Raymond Massey. Good evening, friends. This is your host of the Inner Sanctum, welcoming you to another half hour of gore galore. Come in, won't you, and sit down. No, not there. You'll sit on Ezekiel. He wouldn't like that. Besides, you'll probably find him pretty cold. We've been keeping him on ice for about 6 months now. What? That noise? Oh, that's just his teeth chattering. No, not because he's cold, but because he's just finished going over tonight's story and... Well, I guess you could call him a scared stiff.
Goodness, is the story really going to be so scary? Do you mean that lots of people are going to be murdered?
Yes, Mary, but don't worry. We're only killing people who've never been killed before.
Well, I guess then that all the characters in the story will need plenty of ho-suet.
Ho-suet? What's that? Chinese for Lipton tea?
Well, you're half right. It's Chinese. Ho suet means good luck. And that's what it says in Chinese characters on the sterling silver medallion that the Lipton people are offering to the ladies. Yes, ladies, the medallion is a Chinese good luck charm. But more than that, it's a really lovely piece of jewelry. It's made of solid sterling silver, and it's hung on a narrow black rayon satin ribbon. That's the fashion this year, you know. Yes, this handsome medallion is the kind of jewelry you find at those smart shops on Fifth Avenue in New York. And to get it, all you have to do is to send 25 cents and the box top from a package of Lipton's, the tea with the brisk flavor, to Lipton Tea, Box 92. That's Box 92, New York City.
All right, friends. Now get ready for a surprise. Tonight's story is called Death Across the Board. It's an original radio play by Robert Newman. And our star is that famous dramatic actor of stage and screen, Raymond Massey, who will play the role of John Strange. Do you like to play games? Your life, and even your soul, on one throw of the dice or the turn of a card. You don't care for such high stakes, eh? Well, did it ever occur to you, by living, you're playing such a game? And that your opponent was death? Tonight, I'm going to tell you a story about a man who sat in death's place, playing with human lives, and of what happened to him. It is about 10 o'clock on a sultry summer evening, and Dr. John Strand is standing in front of the window of a pawn shop in the oldest part of the city. On a sudden impulse, he pushes open the door.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Is there anything I can do for you?
No, thank you. If you don't mind, I'd just like to look around.
By all means. I just thought if there was something in particular.
Oh, I really didn't have anything special in mind. I just thought... Hello.
My chess set.
Yes, a very interesting set. And a very interesting game you're playing.
My dear sir... You have no idea how interesting.
Whose move?
White's.
Then White should win in 6 moves.
That, sir, is very much open to question.
Well, perhaps we can play sometime. How much for this set?
not for sale.
Oh. Too bad.
Yes. However, if you're interested in chess and chessmen, I know of a set that I think might appeal to you. It's an Arabian set. 12th or 13th century ivory. The white pieces are Saracen warriors, and the black pieces are crusaders.
Do you have it here?
Unfortunately, no. It's not very far away. If you thought you'd like to see it.
Well, if it's not too outrageously expensive, then you're sure it's no bother?
My dear sir, don't give it another thought. I'd be most anxious for your reactions, even if you don't buy. The address is 23 Raven Place. It's down two blocks, one to your right. Go up one flight and ask for Felix. Tell him that Raphael sent you.
23 Valen Place. Up one flight. Ask for Felix.
I'll phone him. Tell him to expect you. Your name is?
Strand. Dr. John Strand.
Very good, Dr. Strand. Somehow I have the feeling we shall see each other again. Perhaps we should even have the chance to play that game you mentioned before.
Who's that? Who's there?
Felix?
I said, who's there?
My name's Strand. Raphael sent me over here. He said he'd phone you and...
Just a second.
How do you do? I hope I'm not disturbing
okay,
you.
Okay, come on in. And stick him up.
What? I'm afraid there must be some mistake.
Sure is, Bob, and you made it, thinking you could come here and take me this way.
Well, this is ridiculous.
I said stick him up. Keep him up, or I'll let you have it right now.
What for?
Because I said so, that's what for.
Let go of me! Let go!
Drop that gun!
Or
drop it, you hear?
Fire it! Fire it! She'll let you have it right away!
Okay. Now get up and tell me what this is all about. I said get up and... Felix. Dead. He's dead. Hello?
Felix?
I'm sorry, but he can't come to the phone right now.
Oh, Strand. Congratulations.
What? Who is this?
This is Raphael. Now, do you think it's possible for White to win in five moves?
What? What do you mean?
You killed him, didn't you? Of course you did. Or you wouldn't be speaking to me now. I suggest that you go through Felix's pockets, take out the most interesting thing you find there, and bring it to my shop.
What? Hello! Hello! Raphael! Go through his pockets. I've got to get to the bottom of this, find out what it's all about. A wallet. Keys, and... A chessman. A black rook. All right, Mr. Raphael. I think perhaps I'll take you up on that. I will go back to your shop.
Good evening, sir. Can I help you?
Yes. Where's Raphael?
Oh, I'm sorry. He's not in right now, but are you Dr. Stan?
I am.
I'm Alice Hines. He must have been expecting you. He asked me to give you this.
What is it?
I don't know, but I...
Another chessman. A white knight.
Oh, yes. Mr. Raphael is quite a chess player.
He's more than that. He's a murderer.
What? What do you mean?
He sent me to see someone, a man named Felix, to look at a chess set. When I got there, he pulled a gun on me and... Well, when I tried to get it away from him, it went off. And killed him.
Oh, no.
Don't look so surprised and innocent. You work for him. You must know what it's all about.
There must be some mistake, some horrible mistake.
A mistake, huh? Then why did he phone Felix's while I was there? How did he know he'd been killed? Why did he laugh about it? Tell me to come here.
Well, I don't know, but I can't believe that about him. I won't.
No? Well, we'll see what the police have to say about it. Where's the phone?
Back there. But if you're serious about it, you don't have to bother calling them. Riley just went past here a few minutes ago. Here he is, up at the corner.
Fine. That'll save some time. Officer!
Oh, officer, would you... Good. Good Lord.
Someone shot him.
Dick, that woman hiding behind that car there. The woman in black. She's coming in here. Don't just stand there. Get inside and shut the door. You shot Riley. You killed him. 6 months I've been trying to find out who got Ben. Now I can rest in peace. Where's Raphael?
Raphael?
He's the one that got the dope for me. Told me how to knock the cop off. Told me to come in here afterwards.
Well, Mrs. Hines?
Why are you looking so funny? Say, whose side are you on, anyway?
Not ours, my dear. Not ours.
Oh, that's it. I just took it for granted you were working for Ray. Okay, get him up and keep him up. What'll I do with him, Raphael? Where are you, anyway?
Oh, I'm around here someplace. As to what to do with him, I leave that to your discretion. After all, they are witnesses.
Yeah. That's right.
May I recommend the cellar? Right through that door there. It's secluded and quiet.
Okay. Get moving.
I repeat, Miss Hines. Well?
Fantastic. What are you going to do to us?
You can't be that dumb, baby face.
6 months I've been wearing black for the only guy I ever loved. I finally get the guy that got him. You think I'm going to leave the two of you around to put the finger on me? You're going to kill us? You cannot.
No.
Seems to me I did a pretty neat job on that flat foot. After all, they can't burn you more than once. Okay, open that door and go on down.
Allow me, madam.
Never mind, wise guy. You go down first. Then babyface.
It's not very good manners.
No, I'm not going to let you do it. Give me that gun, don't you fool. Let it go!
Down after it. And hurry. Watch while I get the gun.
I didn't mean to do it. I was just trying to get the gun, but she tripped. She fell. With the straps. Why is she lying there so funny? Her hip.
Let's see. Her neck's broken. She's dead.
Oh, no. It means I killed her.
Not any more than it means I killed Felix.
Look. There, lying next to her. Isn't that another chess piece?
The Black Queen.
Why, he gave me one just like that when I first came to work for him. Only it was a white one.
What? Black Queen, White Queen, White Knight, and... No. It's impossible. And still...
You thought of something.
It's too incredible. But I've had a certain nightmare vision that... Come on. We're going to the police. Maybe it's our move now.
Well, live and learn. I always had an idea that I wouldn't like chess, but it was a pretty slow game. But here we've only been playing for about 15 minutes, and we've chalked up 3 corpses already. Yes, this kind of chess is just like a divorce.
Why? What do you mean?
Well, it's a good way to get rid of your wife. That is, if she's a stale mate.
Well, I assure you, most men don't want to get rid of their wives.
Is that so? Didn't you tell me that a man had written in to ask for that Lipton sterling silver medallion on the black ribbon?
Yes.
And didn't he say he wanted to put it around his wife's neck as a choker?
Oh, dear, you don't understand. A choker is just one of the ways in which you can wear this medallion. Of course, you can also wear it as a necklace or... Well, here's what one of our listeners says she does.
I put the medallion on my charm bracelet. I just took it off the narrow black rayon satin ribbon on which it's hung and then slipped it on my bracelet. The medallion was just the right size.
Yes, ladies, and no matter how you wear it, the medallion is really a smart piece of jewelry. It's made of solid sterling silver, and it's about an inch in diameter. So send for your medallion tonight. The Lipton people are making it easy for you to own one. Just send 25 cents and the box top from a package of Lipton's, the tea with the brisk flavor, to Lipton Tea, Box 92. That's Box 92, New York City.
Yeah, it's better right now, friends, while your hands are still steady enough to address the envelope. Well, let's go back to our game of chess and our star, Raymond Massey, who's playing the role of John Strand. It's about a half hour later now. Dr. Strand and Alice Hines are sitting in a bare, quiet room, the chief's office at police headquarters. For the past 10 minutes, Strand has been talking steadily, describing everything that has happened.
So you each bumped someone off, eh? And you've come to give yourselves up.
We certainly did not come here to give ourselves up, Chief. I told you that in both cases it was self-defense. We're here because there's a madman loose, a homicidal maniac.
And you... A guy that just goes around bumping people, or rather gets other people to do his killing for him.
No, there's more to it than that. Much more.
Yeah? What?
It just came to me a little while ago. There was something strangely familiar about this Raphael, and... Did you ever hear of Raphael Norbert?
No.
He was one of the greatest chess players the world has ever known. About 5 years ago, he disappeared. Well, he's playing another chess game now. The maddest game that ever was. Is there a map of the city around?
Right there on the wall.
Let's see. Now, here's Raphael's shop. And... Yes, this would be it. This section of the city here is 8 blocks each way. This is his chessboard. And human beings, people like Alice and I, are his chessmen.
What?
John.
I know it sounds fantastic, but I think it's true. When he sent me to Felix's, he told me to go down 2 blocks and one to the right. That's the move of the knight. In other words, he had cast me as one of the white knights in his crazy game. Alice was the white queen. He himself was the black king, and so on.
He just lined up all these people. Said, you play this piece, you play that,
no.
And...
That was the beauty of the game. The fascinating, exciting part to him. No one knew that they were playing in it, but he. For instance, Felix didn't know that he was a black rook any more than I knew I was a white knight. But his black pieces were all criminals of some sort who wouldn't hesitate to kill. And it was by killing that one piece took another. You see, that was the ultimate refinement. The thing that made this the greatest game Norbert has ever played. He could plan a move, but he had no way of telling which piece would take which. For instance, I killed Felix instead of his killing me. In other words, he was not only playing his game against law and order, against society, but he was matching his brains against that of every piece in the game.
Against law and order, eh? I got this in the mail a couple of weeks ago, without any letter or anything. How would it fit in with your theory?
The White King. Of course. He's cast you in the role of the White King. In other words, he's playing this game principally against you.
Now do you believe this, Mr. Adams? Do you?
I don't know. It's possible, I suppose. We've been having a funny kind of crime wave lately, killings without any apparent motive. Hello?
Hello, Chief. Milady speaking. Down the corner of 3rd and Sycamore, and there's something kind of screwy going on.
Hello. Hello. Melody.
What's the matter?
One of our detectives calling from 3rd and Sycamore. Said there was something screwy on, and then, well, sounded like somebody got him. I'll make sure about this before you answer, but would this be part of what you were talking about?
Let's look at the map again. 3rd and Sycamore. That would be in the area that's Rayfield's chessboard. Yes, I think it is.
Okay, come on. We're going down there.
There he is, lying next to the call box.
Dead. Stabbed.
Look there, lying next to him. Another chess piece.
A pawn. A white pawn. Of course. If you're the White King, then all your men would be pawns.
Pawns, huh? They're the pieces that get pushed around, aren't they?
Well, they're the ones that are usually sacrificed.
Two of my men, Riley and Valenti. Okay, Strand, you're a chess player. You think you can figure out what this Raphael character is going to do next? Tell me how I can meet him?
I might. I only got a very quick look at the board, but if I can remember the location of the pieces...
You mean he's actually got a board set up showing where all the pieces, everybody is?
There's one set up in a little table right next to his desk. No one's allowed to touch it.
That's the one. And it was because I noticed it, commented on it, that I got involved in this nightmare. I think I do remember the position of all the pieces that were left. But of course, some moves may have been made since I saw it last.
Well, what are we fooling around for? Let's go to that shop and make sure. dark. Doesn't look as if anyone's in the store.
Locked, all right. You got a key, haven't you, Alice?
No, Raphael never gave me one. He always locked up himself.
Well, what do we do?
Two of my men killed, and you ask me something like that. Look out. Okay, where's the light?
Right here. There's the chessboard over there.
I know. Let's take a look at it.
This all there is to the place?
Except for the cellar. She must still be down there. That woman in
we'll
black...
We'll go down there later. Well, Strand?
Well, at the moment, black seems to have the edge on us. Several moves have been made, and we've lost several pieces. But we've still got a fair chance...
The devil's winning that game. Where's this Raphael guy, the Black King? What are you going to do next?
Just give me another minute or two, will you? Now, Black King is still in his own square, which would seem to mean that Raphael was still here someplace. The thing is, I'm not sure whose move it is now.
You're right, Strand. I am still here. And it's my...
What in thunder?
It's him speaking over some kind of loudspeaker system. Maybe from the cellar.
From the cellar, huh? Now, well, I'm going to...
Alice, where are you?
Oh, over here.
Are you all right?
I think so. What was it? What happened?
He must have had the place mined or set a booby trap, and when Adams went to open the cellar door, he... Where is Adams?
Well, I'm not sure, but I think he's over there.
I must have some matches someplace. Here. Under that beam. There. Help me lift it off. Adam!
Is he...
No, but he's pretty badly hurt. Just let me get a few tourniquets tied on him, and we better get him to a hospital. This way. The emergency ward's right in there.
How do you know?
Well, I ought to. I interned here. Funny. There's no one around. Well, let's put him right there. On the table. Gently. That's it. Hello? This is Dr. Strand speaking from the emergency ward. I've got a very severe accident case here. Is there anyone around who can take care of him? What about surgery? Crandall? Oh, fine. Will you ask him to get down here as soon as possible? Thanks. The chap I used to know is just finishing an operation. He'll be down in a few minutes.
Will there still be time?
Yes, I think so. We'll have to give him a transfusion once we get him patched up. I'll start scrubbing up myself in case Crandall needs a hand.
Isn't there anything I can do?
Just keep your eye on him, the tunic particularly. It'd be too bad if he lost any more blood.
Right. He's still unconscious, but...
Oh, hello, Crandall. That was quick. Awfully glad you were here. It's a pretty serious case. Adams, the chief of police. An explosion.
Huh?
If we don't work fast, we may lose him. Shock. Possible concussion. Right axillary artery severed. I got a tourniquet on. I'll be finished scrubbing up in a minute and give you a hand.
Take your time. No hurry, I'll just...
What are you doing?
Removing the tourniquet.
Wait, I'm not ready with the ligatures yet. You're not Crandall. You're Raphael.
Right, Strand. Raphael Norbert. Dr. Crandall is still in surgery. Not thin, as a matter of fact. I put on this mask and gown not because I thought it would fool you. Because, somehow it just seemed appropriate.
But it can't be you. You were in the shop.
No, Strand. You're thinking of my voice. It was coming over a loudspeaker system from next door. If you're thinking of my position on the board, you forget. I hadn't made my move yet.
Raphael, I don't know why you've done all this, and I don't care why. But you've got to let us do something about Chief Adams. All that blood is...
Yes, Raphael, for heaven's sake.
Don't move, either of you. But when I have to shoot, I sincerely hope it won't be necessary. After all, when the chief of police dies, the game will be over. And a most interesting game it's been.
But haven't there been enough deaths?
You're very sentimental, my dear. I'm afraid you never would make a good chess player. Pieces have been taken, that's all.
Raphael... Suppose we just give up. Say you've won.
That's right, Raphael. We'll feed you the game. But let me do something about Adams. There's still time. I've got everything ready here. All the instruments.
No, Strand. This is one game I won't have seeded. But I insist on having played out to the last move.
That's the way you want it. All right. If I'm not mistaken, it's my move now.
My eyes. I can't see.
The formaldehyde won't help them any. Here's his gun, Alex. Watch him while I get these tourniquets back on Adam.
You think you can still save him?
His pulse is weak, but I think we can still save him.
Do that with my eyes.
As for you, Raphael, you made one bad mistake. You forgot that three of us came to your shop. The White King, White Queen, and White Knight. That would put you in check.
Well, Strand, I felicitate and congratulate you. If I'm to lose, I prefer to lose in my own way.
Watch your...
Oh, he went through the window.
There's a railroad underpass right outside. A drop of about 60 feet. I think that's game, match, and tournament.
What? You mean the game's over already? Well, that's impossible. We've still got some characters left, at least three of them that haven't been killed off. We've been robbed, and I think we ought to call for a return match. Let's take a vote on it there. All those in favor? 1, 2, 3. That's funny. It came out just the way it did for our friend Raphael. The eyes got it.
Heavens, let's not have another game of chess.
Yes, Mary. Now do you see why they call the pieces chess men instead of women? Oh, this game's too rough for women.
It certainly is rough.
Oh, do you feel worn out and tired? Why don't you rest a while? Then you can slip into something comfortable, like a winding sheet. And if you want to be really fancy, you can put on your sterling silver medallion. What? You have no medallion? Well, here's how you get one. Just send...
Never mind. I'll tell them, thank you. Ladies, if you want to own a handsome sterling silver medallion, just send 25 cents and the box top from a package of Lipton, the tea with the brisk flavor, to Lipton Tea, Box 92, New York City.
Before I say goodnight, a word of advice. If you should ever get into a chess game with a stranger and you happen to notice that he's got a meat axe on his lap, don't get up and run. Just make sure that there's someone else around to help pick up the pieces. Oh, by the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is Lay That Pistol Down by Richard Powell. And oh yes, let me tell you about next week's Inner Sanctum story. Directed by Hyman Brown and brought to you by Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup. Next week's story is about a picture that kills everyone who owns it. It's a masterpiece of murder. Yes, just as soon as a man hangs up his picture, vice versa happens. The picture hangs him. And now it's time to close the squeaking door until next Tuesday. So, good night. Pleasant dreams.
Folks, the next time you send a box of food to your boy overseas, be sure to include a package or two of Lipton's noodle soup mix. You see, Lipton's is just like a taste of home. Yes, it has the same homemade chicken-y taste as the soup you make yourself, the soup your boy's always been so fond of. That's why it's such a thoughtful, welcome little gift to send Lipton's. And as you know yourself, Lipton's noodle soup makes a grand snack. So remember, send a package or two to your boy. And remember to tune in next Tuesday night for another Inner Sanctum Mystery.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not. Prince Pyotr Lapukhin of Russia was awarded his country's highest honor for humanism because he prohibited flogging of people over 70 years old. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about a strange omen. Sailors have always been superstitious. And perhaps one reason is the story of the Paris C. Brown. She was a riverboat plying the waters between Plaquemine and Cincinnati. While tied up at Plaquemine in July 1889, two rats were seen slithering down the lines off the boat. Three crewmen who saw this, prompted by superstition, also walked off. The only survivors of the Paris C. Brown, which sailed and vanished, believe it or not.
The Seal Test Milk, Cheese, and Ice Cream Divisions of National Dairy present Seal Test Variety Theater with two of your favorite stars, Edward G. Robinson and Jimmy Durante. And here's the lovely singing star of our show, your hostess for the next half hour, Dorothy L'Amour.
Thank you and good evening, everyone. In behalf of Henry Russell, his orchestra, and the crew chief's quartet, I'd like to welcome you to Seal Test Variety Theater. And now it's a real privilege to introduce two of the greatest names in show business, Jimmy Durante and Edward G. Robinson. We're still on page one.
Thank you, Dottie. It's a real pleasure to be here.
You said it, Dottie. That's us, Robinson and Durante, otherwise known as Little Caesar and Big Schnozzola.
You know, Jimmy, standing here like this reminds me of the old days in vaudeville.
It certainly does. Can you remember the old days, Eddie?
Oh, I certainly can. They're so much better now.
By the way, Eddie, I haven't seen you around lately. Have you been busy?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have been rather busy lately in pictures.
Well, speaking of pictures, Dottie, reminds me that I'd like to know whether you could use me in your next jungle picture.
Well, Jimmy, I didn't know you were interested in the jungle.
Why, Dottie, when you mention Abyssinia and now Afghanistan, Turinga, and Madagascar, it really makes me realize just one thing.
What's that?
Just how bad my spelling is. You know, I was the only boy in PS 186 wearing an Adam Dunst cap. But since it looks like I won't get in your jungle picture, Dottie, I have to tell you about my new hobby, collecting antiques.
Your auntie, the connoisseur.
That's me, a commensurer. But you should see the 1776 television set I just bought.
Wait a second, Jimmy. Television wasn't invented in 1776.
Yeah? No wonder I've got the only set on the block that gets gorgeous George Washington.
Thank you, boys. And ladies and gentlemen, don't go away because there's going to be lots more of Eddie and Jimmy in just a moment.
Get the Bev-Get Seal Test.
Flavor for flavor, there is no ice cream that matches Seal Test for pure goodness. Every spoonful is smooth and creamy rich, fine-grained in texture, and packed with flavor. Wonderful lip-smacking flavor. Seal Test ice cream is better in every way because it's made with fresh, top-quality milk and cream, pure flavorings, and real sun-ripened fruits and nuts. Then skillfully blended by experts. No wonder it's the most popular ice cream in America by an overwhelming margin. Whenever it's ice cream you crave,
get the Bev-Get Seal Test.
And here she is, the singing star of our show, giving that famous L'Amour once over to that brand new hit tune, Buttons and Bows.
East is east and west is west, and the wrong one I have chose. Let's go where I'll keep on wearing those frills and flowers and buttons and bows, rings and things and buttons and bows. Don't bury me in this prairie. Take me where the cement grows.
let's move down to some big town where they love a gal by the cut of her clothes. I'll stand out in buttons and bows. I love you in buckskin or shirts that I've homespun, but I love you longer, stronger, where your friends don't hold a gun. My bones denounce the buckboard bounce and the cactus hurts my toes. Let's vamoose where gal keep us in those silks and satins and linenette shows, and I'm all yours in buttons and bows. Give me eastern trimming where women are women in the high silk hose and the peekaboo clothes, the French perfume that rocks the room, and I'm all yours in buttons and bows.
Ladies and gentlemen, when you think of America's best-known performers and actors, you automatically think of our guest star tonight. His latest outstanding contribution to the enjoyment of America's moviegoers is his performance as a mind reader in Paramount's Night Has a Thousand Eyes. His name, Edward G. Robinson.
Thank you, Dottie.
Carlton, will you do the honors while Mr. Robinson and I wait for the curtain to go up?
Right, Dottie. Our play tonight, starring Edward G. Robinson and Dorothy L'Amour, is called Sleight of Hand, and was written especially for Seal Test Variety Theater by Milton Geiger. Our story opens in a swank cocktail lounge. It is crowded and gloomy. The management figures that if only half of the customers get lit, who needs electricity? The door opens. What did you expect it to do? Whistle Carmen? A furtive, hunted-looking man comes in and sits down at the bar. He slips a lady's beaded purse out of his coat pocket and puts it on the vacant stool beside him, and then ignores it. A girl has been watching this suspicious behavior from her table in a corner. Now she gets up and walks swiftly to the bar and snatches the beaded bag from the stool.
I'll take care of this purse, sonny boy.
Hey, 1 minute there, lady.
Pick up your drink and follow me.
Well, this drink is supposed to pick me up.
Well, we'll take turns on each other. But follow me to my table. Come on.
What about that bag you picked up?
I'll take care of it. I've got away with bags.
Well, you're not going to get away with this one.
Why not? You did.
Do you think I stole that purse?
Never mind. Here we are. Sit down.
Yeah, but...
Shut up.
Oh.
Sit down.
Well, since you ask in such a nice way...
You're in trouble.
What makes you think so?
Well, you were trying to get rid of this purse you snatched.
I was not.
Listen, you looked hunted when you came in. Like a man from the Gallup poll the day after election.
I did not steal that bag.
No. You got it as a door prize at the wrestling match.
Oh, I had a date with a girl named Gloria. Her feet hurt, so she stopped at a girlfriend's apartment to change shoes. She told me she'd meet me here.
Sure. And gave you her purse to buy Tootsie Rolls.
Say, now, look, don't you ever give your escort your purse to hold?
Mm-hmm. If both of his legs are broken. Now, let's see what's in the purse.
Oh, the usual portable ladies' junk shop.
Hey. Look at the dough.
Hmm?
$10, $20, $35. Not bad.
$35.
Let's have some ice cream.
It was worth $35 in this purse to Gloria not to spend the rest of the evening with me.
I don't get it.
Oh, I'm a sharp number with the ladies. That I am.
No.
No.
Why not?
Well, look at me.
Is there any admission charge?
Well, look at my hair.
Well, that's quickly done.
Call this peach fuzz hair?
Does it have to be mink?
Look at this profile.
Does it have to be Ronald Coleman?
Well, does it have to be Edward G. Robinson?
I don't mind it.
Well, you're morbid.
Well, what about this here Gloria?
Well, I met her at the club tonight, and she let me take her out. Just for laughs, I suppose.
What club?
Well, I'm a mind reader in nightclubs.
They got minds in nightclubs?
Mind reading, magic, sleight of hand, crystal gazing.
Hey, I saw a movie about a guy like you recently.
Yeah, Frankenstein in the Hall of Mirrors.
No. No, Night Has a Thousand Eyes.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. It's about a phony mind reader who really begins seeing things on the square.
Oh, he buys a television set, huh?
So, what's your racket?
Well, I'm billed as the great Alley Infree. In a turban and evening clothes, I get by. I get invited over to the tables, and ever so often some chick thinks I'm interesting. So after the show, I take her out. But without a towel around my head, I'm just a splitting headache, I guess.
So they give me the air.
Air's good for you.
Yeah, they put it in flat tires.
Look, Professor.
It seems I've got a certain captivating nothing. Now, what's wrong with me?
Nothing.
I read the ads. I gargle. I'm the one man seven who shaves every day. I apply the fingernail test. My eyes sparkle with interest when other people are talking. I am not a squirmer. So what's wrong?
Look, I did you a dirty trick.
How?
I didn't know it would hurt you like this.
Well, what? What did you do?
Well, I put that $35 in this purse.
What for?
Well, I really thought you'd snatched it because you needed the dough. Only when I cased the bag over at the bar, there wasn't a dough. So I put some in.
You put in your own $35?
Not exactly. Detective Lamotte's $35. He's standing over there at the bar.
Yeah, and he must have borrowed it from him before I came in.
Mm-mm. After you came in. Only he don't know it yet.
You heisted a detective's wallet from me.
Shh.
But why did you do it?
Well, I thought you were broken. I don't mind if your foliage is thin, and I like your profile.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. It's rough and tough and kind of sweet under all that ugle.
Huh?
That's straight goods, Mr. Sleight of Hand.
Hmm. Pretty. And light finger, too.
I've given it up as a profession, though.
You'd be great for my act. I need a pretty female assistant.
I'm pretty female.
You're pretty.
You said that.
You're light-fingered.
You said that, too?
You'd have to travel with me.
You didn't say that.
Oh, well, we'd have to be married, of course.
Oh, you can say that again.
Yeah, give me the detective's money.
What are you going to do with it? Hey!
There, wait a minute. Now that I'm getting married, I wouldn't want my bride to spend a honeymoon in Sing Sing. I want to get this money back into the detective's pocket.
How?
Oh, just a simple matter of sleight of hand.
Now Henry Russell and his orchestra and the crew chiefs put on their hiking shoes and state emphatically and musically that they're walking my baby back home.
Gee, it's great after being out late, walking my baby back home. Arm in arm over meadow and farm, walking my baby back home. We go along harmonizing a song, or I'm reciting a poem. Owls go by and they give me the eye, walking my baby back home. We stop for a while,
he gives me a smile, I snuggle my head on his chest.
We start into bed, and that's when I get
her powder all over my vest.
After I kind of straighten my tie, I have to borrow a comb. One kiss, and I continue again, walking my baby back home.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The largest selling ice cream in America by far is Seal Test ice cream. To be the top-ranking favorite, it has to be more than just good. It has to be better. And Seal Test ice cream is better in every way. It's made with only the finest ingredients. Pasteurized for extra protection. Homogenized for perfect blending, better flavor, and finer texture. And every step from first to last is subject to rigid Seal Test quality controls. This greater care all adds up to better ice cream, the outstanding quality leader of the nation, Seal Test. Always buy the best. Say, Seal Test.
Well, Dottie, what is on the musical agenda at the moment?
Jimmy, I'm going to sing My Bill.
I shall awake your glissandos with your enchantment. And, Dottie, when you finish, will you do me a favor?
What?
Tell me what I just said.
Not the type at all. You'd meet him on the street and never notice him. His form and face, his manly grace, are not the kind that you would find in a statue. And I can't explain, it's surely not his brain that makes me thrill. I love him because he's wonderful. He's just my on the street and never notice him. His form and face, his manly grace, are not the kind that you would find in a statue. And I can't explain, it's surely not his brain that makes me thrill. I love him because he's, I don't know, because he's just my Bill.
Without further ado, we bring you that incomparable, inimitable star of the Camel Show, the one and only Jimmy Durante, in person.
Let me hear that band. You've got to start off each day with a song. Now, even when things go wrong, why, you feel better, you even look better.
Huh? Mr. Durante! I just heard you sing, and I picked you to be the outstanding singer of 1948.
Thanks, and pray tell, who are you?
I'm the guy who picked Dewey.
If Jimmy Stewart still got that rope, I'd like to borrow it.
Jimmy, I'd like to say it certainly is wonderful seeing you again.
And you know, it's wonderful seeing you again, Dottie. You know, it seems like I haven't seen you in a dog's age.
How long is it?
About 6 months and three Cocker Spaniels. And that is the token of friendship. I brought you a little present.
Why, Jimmy, how sweet. What is it?
A bottle of Chanel number 4.5.
You mean Chanel number 5.
4.5. On the way over, it leaked. I smell so good coming in the studio, three ushers winked at me.
I could go for you myself. Tell me, were there any others in your family like you?
Certainly. There was Maria, Miliuch, Bagaluch, Antonio, Giuseppe, and Trockmorton.
Trockmorton?
An adopted child. But That is neither seal nor test. You know, Dolly, there's been something on my mind.
What?
To be brutally frank, you. You know, I'm a pretty lonesome guy. Could you learn to care for me?
Well, this is rather sudden, Jimmy. It's being whispered about that you're crazy about Esther Williams.
I used to be crazy about Esther, but I happen to be very particular. There was one little habit she had that annoyed me, and I absolutely refused to put up with it.
What was that?
She wouldn't have anything to do with me. So you see, Dottie, it's really you I want.
Wait a minute, Jimmy. You're sweet, but I'm afraid that my kisses and my heart belong to another. You'd be getting a hollow shell.
At my age, you don't ask if the house is furnished. You just move right in.
Jimmy, I think you're using the wrong approach. You don't have to run after women. All you have to do is sit and let them come to you.
I once tried sitting and letting women come to me.
What happened?
My feet fell asleep. And you... Oh, it's so true, you know. You know, Daddy, I wish I could devote more time to romantical pursuits. But I've been busy in Washington.
Oh, I assume that's so. I just saw in the paper where you attended a dinner the president gave for the ambassador of Mexico.
That's right, Daddy. And I was certainly flattered when the ambassador rapped on the back of my neck with a piece of celery and said, Durrani, the Mexican government wants somebody to come down to promote Pan-American relations. Being the American that is most panned by his relations. I accept the portfolio. And I was off to Mexico before you could say, Salutes, Abracadas.
I'll bet they loved you down there.
Modesty forces me to agree. Daddy, the population greeted me really effusively.
Effusively?
Yes, I'd spell it for you, but the studio closes at midnight. But anyway, they greeted me effusively, and then the newspapers took a picture of me receiving the key to the city.
Oh, that must have caused a lot of commotion.
You said it. In 24 hours, every girl over 21 changed the lock on her door.
I take it then your mission to Mexico wasn't a success.
On the contrary, Dolly, the Mexican people were so impressed with my achievements, they gave me squatter's rights to 10,000 acres of land. Unfortunately, it was all covered with cactus.
Covered with cactus?
Yes, that's why I didn't exercise my squatter's rights.
Did you get to see any bullfights while you were there?
What a question. Why, on my last day there, I was the guest matador at the bullfight. You should have seen me. I walked into the ring. The bull walked into the ring. I looked at the bull. The bull looked at me. Suddenly, he touched. But instead of dodging, I nonchalantly turned my back on him.
You mean you deliberately turned your back to the bull?
Yes, Dottie. Do you know a cheaper way to get back to California?
Running out, Jimmy, and no visit from you would be complete without a song.
I'll be glad to oblige. I just say it with music. That's my tech. I just say it with sweet melodies. That's the language I speak. I could have went further, but there ain't enough notes. The way I play piano makes the girls rejoice. And that ain't all. Besides, I got a melodious voice. And it gets results. Last night, I went around to where my girlfriend lives, stood underneath the window and began to sing. Chitty-bee, 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 chitty-bee. Ya, ya, ya. Suddenly, her father opened the door and yelled to her dog, go get him, Rover. It's a Nelly cat. You see, I just say it with music. It's fashionable and it's chic. Why, there's no need to view you with alarm. It's very plain to see the answer to my charm. I just say it with music. That's my technique. Yes, sir. That's my technique.
you, Jimmy. Camels must be very proud of the tones that issue from your T-zone. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few seconds, we're going to give you some great news about our guests for next week.
Get the best, get Seal Test.
Get on your mark, get set, here it is. The November dessert of the month. Seal Test strawberry tarts. Sound good? You bet they are good. A base of smooth, creamy vanilla ice cream, then a generous layer of real, red, ripe strawberries, and on top, a tempting border of honest-to-goodness whipped cream. It's a dessert that'll turn any meal into a festive occasion. Seal Test strawberry tarts. And say, there's good news in the flavor of the month department, too. An old favorite back again to delight all you ice cream fans. Seal Test butter pecan. Rich and really buttery, with plenty of crisp pecan bits all through it. Enjoy butter pecan often while it's the flavor of the month. And be sure to ask your Seal Test dealer for strawberry tarts.
Get the best, get Seal Test.
Dorothy Lemoore. Dorothy Lemoore will be back with us in just a moment. And now, hear our Henry Russell and the orchestra playing Blue Skies. Again is your mistress of ceremonies, Dorothy Lemoore.
Jimmy Durante and Edward G. Robinson, I can't begin to tell you how thrilling it was to have had you here tonight. Your appearance contributes to a fine cause, the establishment of the American Federation of Radio Artists Welfare Insurance Fund. Next week, our guests will be two of your top movie and radio favorites, Betty Hutton and Don Ameche, so I sure hope you'll try to be with us. Until then, for Henry Russell, the crew chiefs, and tonight's guests, this is Dorothy Lemoore saying good night, keep well, keep happy, and keep listening.
Continuity for Seal Test Variety Theater is written by Howard Harris and direction is by Glenn Hall Taylor. Tune in next Thursday at this same time when Seal Test Milk and Ice Cream again presents Seal Test Variety Theater, starring Dorothy Lemoore and as our guests, Betty Hutton and Don Ameche. Seal Test Incorporated and Associate Companies are divisions of National Dairy Products Corporation. This is Carlton Cadell speaking.
Going to do it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. I will be back tomorrow with more old-time radio. Brand new shows every day at relicradio.com, where you'll find this show and all the other shows. Also links to our Facebook page, forum, shoutcast stream, and everything else Relic Radio. Don't forget, if you'd like to help support this and all the shows, you can click on the Support Us button, the big red button on the front of the website. I appreciate it if you're able to help out. Thank you to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Tuesday. Another hour of old-time radio on the Relic Radio Show.